Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Continuing on this beautiful topic of inheritance, there are those who block others, meaning that if they exist, others who are relative of the deceased would not get anything at all. So if there's a father, and this is the classification of those who will inherit, you have what is known as usul, which is your fundamentals. Who are your fundamentals? Your father, mother, and anyone who goes on top. Grandfather, grandmother, great-great-grandfather, all of these are your fundamentals or your usul. So this is number one. And you have furu', and these are your descendants, your sons, grandsons, daughters, etc. And you have what is known as hawashi, those who surround you. They're not from top and they're not from bottom, but they are on the side, such as siblings, such as uncles, cousins, etc., nephews. There are people who block others. So for example, children, offspring, are not blocked by anyone. They will get the parents, no one can block them. They can reduce their percentage, but never block them. And likewise, the spouse, whether a husband or a wife, no one can block these. They will inherit. But they may be reduced. So instead of the mother getting one third, she may get a sixth if he has offspring. Instead, the husband getting half, he would get a quarter if she has children. The wife, instead of getting one fourth, she would get one eighth if he has offspring. And likewise, the children will get, depending on their number. So if it's one son, he will get everything else. If there are five sons, they will share everything else, etc. Now, why would we say that this and this would inherit? Who blocks who? A brother of a deceased is automatically blocked if there's a father or if there is a son of the deceased. Why? Because they are closer to the deceased from the sibling. A man dies, leaving one son, his brothers would not get a single thing. Okay, what about his sisters? Not a single thing. As long as the son is there or more, he takes everything else. Assuming that he doesn't have any sons or he has daughters, but he has a father. So we will give everyone his prescribed percentage. The daughter would get her percentage, the mother. The father would get his percentage, which is 1/6, and the rest goes to him because he's a asaba, he's a strong one. We said children, male sons, and then fathers. If there is no father, if there is a grandfather, the father of a father, and there are siblings, the siblings don't get anything. They're blocked. And so on. There is a system that governs this. You know who blocks who and who reduces and what are the percentage of it. Now, inheritance has reasons. Meaning, can I inherit the brother? We're good friends. We went to the same school, to the same university. We share the same house. And for 70 years, we've been living as best friends and he died. Can I inherit him? The answer is no. Why? He said, because you're not related to him. Then relation to him is one of the reasons for inheritance. What are the reasons of inheritance? There are three. The first reason is kinship. So I can inherit only those related to me through kinship. And this is known as ar-rahim. And why do we call the womb in a woman's body as ar-rahim? Because this is where a child is conceived and your siblings come from the same womb. And your, for example, cousin, you share the same womb in great-grandmother. So this is why your kinship is important. The second reason for inheritance is marriage. So I can inherit my wife, though she is not related to me through kinship, but through marriage, which is Allah described it in the Quran, a strong bondage. وَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. It's a strong bondage, marriage. It's not something easy to take lightly. And the third reason for inheritance would be the inheritance through a pledge of allegiance. And this allegiance comes when I have a slave and I free the slave. then this means that I have the right to inherit him if he does not have any proper heir. So let's assume that the man married. I freed him, he was my slave. And he has a daughter and he dies. I'm the one who freed him. The wife gets how much? 1/8. It's a quarter or an eighth. You have to memorize the ayah of the Quran in Surah An-Nisa. Without it, you cannot accomplish anything. So the wife gets 1/8. The daughter gets half. Very good. The rest goes where? The man has no relatives. It goes to the one who freed him. So this is beneficial for me and an incentive to free people. Now, is it the other way around? Or is it one way? It is one way, from the higher to the lower. Meaning I inherit him, but he does not inherit me. I inherit him because I freed him, and we will come to discuss this, inshallah, later on. So this is roughly what inheritance is about. The following hadith, we will talk, inshallah, if Allah gives us life to make another program, we will talk about what prevents people from inheriting one another, the things that prevent them. And we open the floor for any questions if you have.
A man has two wives, okay? So the first wife has 4 children and the second has 1 child. So here the dispute between this contained, even I got many questions on this, that how the property should be divided. Is it to be divided between the wives, that 50-50, then divided among the children, or it will be divided amongst the children directly, like 5 children?
Now, to not confuse yourself, in issues of inheritance, a lot of the times people say, a husband died and his wife did this and the mother did that, and meaning, depending on the person asking the question. Usually I get a brother and says, my father died and my mother, how much will she get? When you tell me my mother, I will automatically think of the mother of the deceased. Whenever you ask a question about inheritance, relate everything to the dead person, not to you. So you don't say, my father died, no. You say, a man died, leaving 6 boys and 3 girls. Don't say, leaving me and my brothers and my sisters, you confuse the man. So say, the deceased died, leaving behind 6 boys, 3 girls, a father and a wife. Because when you say a mother, immediately he would think that this is the mother of the deceased. No, this is the way you say it, first of all. So now identify, who's the deceased? The husband? Okay. Then in this case, the question would be, a husband or a man dies, leaving 2 wives and 6 children, 10 children, 100 children. It doesn't matter to me who has how many children, because they are all the children of the same man, khalas. Don't confuse yourself when you look and study the inheritance. Don't look at your relationship with him. So a man dies, leaving 2 wives and 4 boys and 2 girls. How would I divide the inheritance? Immediately. What does Allah say about the wife? How much does she get? 1/8. This means that the first wife gets 1/8. The second wife gets 1/8. If he has 4 wives, then I get 1/8 to each. Then they will get half of the inheritance. No. 1/8 goes to all of his wives. So if he has 1 wife, she's lucky she has 1/8. If he has 2 wives, she gets 1/16. Oh, I'm losing. If he has 4 wives, and that is why in Arabic, what do we call the second wife? In Arabic, it's called darrah, and darrah comes from the word darar, which means harm. And a second wife is usually harmful to the first wife because this would take half of her time, one day here, one day there. She would take some of the provision of the husband, and when he dies, she would take half of the inheritance. So wives are sharing in 1/8. The rest is divided on the boys and the girls, the offspring, where the boy would get 2 shares and the girl would get 1 share. So this is easily multiplied. The boys, if they're 4, this means that they're 8 shares. And the girls 2, there are 2 shares. So the rest would divide it over 10 and you give each one what they need. Yes, ma'am.
If a man's mother died and his father took a stepmother, so will the stepmother take from the inheritance?
Now, again, give me the question. A man dies, leaving behind a father and stepmother doesn't inherit at all. Only the mother that inherits. Stepmother has nothing related to me. Those are related to me as mentioned before. Either through marriage, I'm the one who's married, or through kinship, meaning my stepmother has nothing related to me in kinship, or through al-wala, the pledge. Other than that, she does not marry. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Write your questions down, and when we meet next time, inshallah, we'll try our level best to discuss your questions. So until then, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.